listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 13th LCMS National Youth Gathering in New Orleans, Louisiana. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Joining me here at the KFUO broadcast booth at the National Youth Gathering, the Reverend Stephen Reinierson, pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Hewitt, Texas. Good morning, Pastor Reinierson.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here at the booth. Thanks for getting up nice and early to make it over here. Everybody else is still kind of wandering down slowly to their breakfast and making their way, getting ready for Bible study this morning.
Yeah, it's pretty slow around here right now.
I was a Was your floor pretty quiet when you left your hotel this morning?
No one was awake but me.
Yeah, I had to sneak out and go down and grab some quick breakfast and make my way over. It was pretty quiet when I came to the building. I see the young adult volunteers making their way in the building now, getting ready to set up their spaces here, get ready for the 25,000 people that will be coming into the convention center today.
That's correct, and they'll all want the same things. Same swag from the various booths.
We're conveniently located next to the gathering store, and I was able to pick up some swag yesterday. Did you check out the new socks?
No, I did not.
They have the gathering colors on them. They're pretty neat.
I'll have to look at
that. They're brightly colored. You would be the talk of the whole congregation, the whole circuit, probably back in Hewitt if you had these socks. Wore them on Sunday morning with your black pants. That would look pretty good.
How about with my Hawaiian clerical shirt?
they might go with that, although these have more of a New Orleans color to them. But
okay.
they would look great. Pastor, tell us about your congregation, Peace Lutheran Church in Hewitt, Texas.
Peace Lutheran Church has been around about 40 years now. It was a mission plant, and I'm really the third pastor. We have about 400 people officially, but about 250 who come with some regularity. All ages. We have quite a few children right now, and right on up to 103.
103. Wow.
And she's as alert as can be.
Well, thanks be to God. Now, you brought a group here to the National Youth Gathering, a group of, what, eight students?
Eight students, and there are four adults.
And how does the National Youth Gathering fit into your ministry? How is it a part of your ministry at Peace Lutheran Church?
Well, it sort of is the touchstone for each three-year cycle. So a lot of what goes on is kind of planned around, okay, where's the next youth gathering and when's that going to be? And then another year we do a stateside mission project. And the third year is always we got to raise a bunch of money so we can go to New Orleans.
New Orleans or San Antonio or Orlando, prepare for a national youth gathering. Well, glad that you made it here safely with your group, and thanks for being willing to spend some time with us studying God's Word. Our text is Galatians chapter 6 today, verses 1 through 18. That's what we're studying. Anything you'd like us to know about this text as we prepare to study, Pastor?
All of Galatians is struggling with St. Paul dealing with some Christians who had added following the law, particularly the Jewish Old Testament law, in addition to faith and believing in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. And in the process, he has to deal with quite a few things. And at the end of chapter 5, as we go on into chapter 6, he's given what the fruits of the Spirit are. It's in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And now he's going to, in chapter 6, he's going to apply what he just said.
So let's take a look at the text, Galatians chapter 6, beginning of the first verse. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. So if anyone's caught into transgression, he says, brothers, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So you should just take all kinds of jabs at him, right?
Yes. Or you should treat him with stone-cold anger. Because, boy, he's bad, and I'm not, but he's bad. But he says it in a spirit of gentleness. He's just said that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. And this looking at that other person as someone who's just slipped, it's kind of the word for you slipped on the ice. You did the wrong thing, but it wasn't so much intentional. And now you need to restore that person, to tell them they've been forgiven by Christ, to give them the strength to go ahead forward and not just kind of lay there on the ice, unable to do anything anymore.
So someone who's slipped, who's fallen, and to quote the commercial from the 80s, who's fallen and can't get up, but we're there to do this gently.
To do this gently in the Spirit of God, to reach out and say, okay, yes, you sinned, but Christ has forgiven you.
Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, as you start to deal with other people's sins, the devil's working as well. And he would love you to fall into their sin, not to do the work of bringing the forgiveness of Christ. And it's easy then to get into kind of this, well, you're just bad and I can't really help you anymore. You know, I helped you 7 times, but not 70 times 7 times, but I still can't do it anymore. So I'll just let it go.
When we start talking about this, one of the questions I have is, for whom did Christ die?
Everyone.
So this person that we're talking about, the brother caught in a transgression, is someone for whom Christ died.
Exactly.
So how should we treat them?
In the spirit of gentleness.
In the spirit of gentleness, as someone for whom Christ died.
Right.
Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
It's interesting. He brings back the word law. He spent most of Galatians saying the law is not necessary for salvation, which is true. But he brings up the law of Christ, love your neighbor as yourself. This fruit of the Spirit is now a good works that we do for Christ. And we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, which if you look down in verse 4, it says you're going to supposed to bear your own load. So it's almost it's almost a bit of a paradox here. If I see someone else's problem, I'm to help them. I'm to bear their burden, help them with their burden. But on the other hand, I'm not supposed to become too dependent and expect someone always to do it for me. I'm to be doing my good works for Christ on my own. So I'm bearing my own load. And when I slip and fall, I hope someone with gentleness will come and restore me as well.
For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor.
Yeah, and that's kind of the whole idea of self-control, which he's also mentioned as a fruit of the Spirit, that instead of saying, well, I'm better than you, or I'm so good and I can do whatever I want, I have to learn to boast. Well, I can say I boast because the Lord's worked through me, but not in comparison to someone else. I think especially youth, we're at this youth gathering, spend so much time comparing themselves to someone else that it's pretty burdensome. And it's what he's calling for us to do here is to not deceive ourselves, but do our own work.
For each will have to bear his own load. Anything else about that verse or the verses 1-5, Pastor?
No, but he's taking this fruits of the Spirit to the next level and explaining how you actually show that the Spirit's working through you. So there's more here as we go along.
We're studying the daily lectionary from the National Youth Gathering with Pastor Stephen Rainierson of Peace Lutheran Church in Waco, Texas. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. I'm glad to take some questions or comments as we're studying the text today. Let's go on to verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches.
A very important point that the teacher deserves the same blessings as the one who receives the teaching from them. As Paul never for himself demands this sort of care. In fact, he makes a point a number of times that I took care of my own needs, but he's always careful to make sure that others who will come after him and teach will be supported by those who are receiving the gifts of the ministry. So we can't just say, well, that's his opinion. Mm-hmm. We have to be supporting them as they're teaching us.
When I think about the, you know, what you shared, that the instructor, the teacher should receive those blessings, I think of my, I was very blessed by my professors, by my teachers throughout time, but I think of my poor professor of Greek in college. That man tried so hard to teach me Greek so diligently, and I was very blessed by it, but I'm not sure it was much of a blessing for him.
Well, my Greek teacher, I've reconnected with on Facebook, and reminds me on occasion that I was not the model student myself.
I remember having that conversation that he was, well, in a spirit of gentleness, trying to say, maybe this isn't the quarter or the term for you to be taking Greek.
Yeah.
But I struggled and made it through 2 years.
Oh, good. Good.
Just enough to be dangerous, not enough to be helpful. So do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap.
And I think you have to read the next verse.
For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but from the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life.
Yeah, I think those go together. Mm-hmm. This whole sowing and reaping, which of course that agricultural image that's throughout the New Testament, is saying in a sense, whatever you're doing in your spirit of gentleness, as you use the fruits of the Spirit, that's what you're going to receive. But if you sow the fruits of the flesh, which are mentioned in chapter 5 as well, then you're going to receive all sorts of horrible things that you don't want, but seem attractive at the moment. And so he says, don't be deceived. Don't think that you can do one thing and expect something else. God's not fooled, nor is anyone else around you. Ask your spouse sometime. They're not fooled when you're sinning. So understand that your life, what you're doing with your life, is going to reap a reward. Not eternal reward, that's won by Christ, but just the attitude of others around you.
So we can't fool God. We can't deceive God. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
And so he says, you know, it's easy to grow weary of service. It's easy to say, oh, I'm the only one on the board of trustees who even cares. Or yeah. I'm the only one in the Elder Mill Society anymore who's willing to be an officer. And so it's easy to become weary of doing that. But in your sowing, you will reap. And some days you're waiting for the harvest. Mm-hmm. But it will come, the Lord is saying to us here. And so as we do good to others, particularly those of the household of faith, other believers like ourselves, we should be receiving back from them the harvest of acceptance, of love, of mercy, and, to begin this chapter, forgiveness when we've slipped.
We are studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Stephen Reinierson. We're in Galatians chapter 6 today. Pastor Reinierson comes to us from Peace Lutheran Church in Waco, Texas. Hewitt, Texas, just outside Waco.
Oh, technically the church is in Waco.
In Waco.
I live in Hewitt.
Central Texas, right?
That's correct.
The heart of Texas. The heart of Texas, yeah. And we are broadcasting live from the National Youth Gathering of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in New Orleans, Louisiana. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study of God's Word in Galatians chapter 6. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Christian mission of Lutheran Senior Services is older adults living life to the fullest. Based on John 10, verse 10, this mission leads Lutheran Senior Services to serve a diverse population, living in diverse situations, experiencing diverse needs. Responding to those needs requires a multitude of hands working in a multitude of specialized fields in order to offer a complete continuum of services designed to help older adults live life to the fullest, whatever their needs may be. Learn more at lssliving.org.
Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." Kelly Schumacher, artist and founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts, offers group and private lessons in classical art education that focus on Old Masters oil painting techniques and drawing that glorify God and are based on the fundamental principles of art and art history. Youth and adult lessons are available. AgnusDeiArts.com. That's AgnusDeiArts.com.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the LCMS National Youth Gathering. We're at the Convention Center here in New Orleans, Louisiana. Joining me today for the Daily Lectionary, Pastor Stephen Reinierson from Peace Lutheran Church in Hewitt, Texas. We are studying Galatians chapter 6 and just about ready to embark on verses 11 through 18 in just a moment. Before we do that, Pastor, though, anything else about verses 6 through 10 before we move ahead?
Yeah, I could have said a little bit more about the fruits of the Spirit. So, for instance, self-control is in verses 3 and 4. Faithfulness was really in verse 6. And as we go on here, 9 and 10 are going to have a couple more forbearance and goodness.
All right. Let's take a look at verse 11. "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." See what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. The print doesn't seem any larger in my ESV here.
No, it's not. even in a Greek New Testament that you would look in, it would look the same. But it's pretty apparent that most of the time Paul dictated in some ways to a secretary to write down what he was saying. But then in this case, he signs his own work as a businessman would do today if his secretary took dictation. I don't know if they still do that anymore. But if they did, you have to sign it in your own hand. And he does it in large letters. Traditionally, there's been some debate about why large letters. Most likely, he just likes to write big. he's trying to say, this is from me. It's not just hearsay. This is from me. They probably could recognize his own handwriting.
"It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ."
It's interesting. He's going to bring back circumcision here, which he's dealt with in the earlier chapters. But he gives a new reason why the people wanted them to be circumcised, so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. It's interesting. I never thought of this until I was studying this a week or two ago. It seems like they were trying to make sure that these people were circumcised so they could fall under the exemption that the Roman Empire had given to the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion was a legal religion within the Roman Empire. They didn't like Jews particularly, but they had made it a legal religion. And it possibly is, hey, if you're going to be part of our church, Christian church, you also have to make sure you are in the legal religion, and circumcision's our mark. That's how we know that you're really a Jew.
So you have this legal, this recognized religion. Mm-hmm. We may not like it, but it's recognized.
Correct. But Christianity is not recognized as a religion and probably won't be for almost 300 years. But at this moment, at least it seems that some of those who are sometimes called the Judaizers, those who were trying to get people to follow the Old Testament law, might have been to save their own necks, not just because they were enthusiastic for the law.
For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh.
So also then they could say, hey, look at how many I have been able to help come to the faith, the true faith, which includes circumcision. Faith itself, of course, you know, it's hard to tell if someone has faith except by their own words. Now if they, especially an adult, have to go through circumcision, that's a fairly hard to deny that happened.
Yeah.
So you can say, hey, I have this many that I have won for the Lord.
And then we start boasting in ourselves.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, instead of, as he'll go on to say, as he only boasts in the cross of Christ, he's only going to boast that by which the world was crucified to me. I'm not going to boast in how many folks came to faith or how many folks now follow the law, which he's pretty well dispensed with as being unnecessary in Galatians.
For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
And so he's going to boast in the cross of Christ. And now the worldly things that you might boast in, how many converts have I won or how many churches have I planted? He says, I that doesn't mean anything. I don't take my value from the worldly decisions. I want to look at Christ, the one by whose cross I have died to all of that. And now I can live eternally.
And that is very similar to the theme that of this National Youth Gathering that we're
exactly
attending this week.
In Christ alone. And they've done a really nice job, at least in the first 2 days now, of trying to reinforce from a variety of perspectives that it's in Christ alone. And it's not who you are as far as your gifts or your abilities. Last night, they did a fine job of not only saying we have garbage in the sins that we've done, but also we can trust in the wrong things, which in the world's eyes are good, like star athlete or being a good student in school or things like that. In the world's eyes, you start to take value there, but our value that we boast in is in Christ alone.
And isn't that, I when they were identifying those, I think they called it good trash.
Good trash, yeah.
That, you know, made me think of, I guess it's Isaiah, the filthy rags, all of our deeds,
sin,
yeah.
Are like filthy rags, yes.
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether we're doing the bad things or trying to do the good things when we do them from a sinful heart.
There's no reason to boast,
right,
to use these terms.
For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God.
And so he's saying, you know, it doesn't matter which category you happen to fall in physically with your body, but that you are a new creation. You've been born again. You've been reconstituted as God's child again. And so, you know, you could have your leg amputated and still be part of the new creation. It's not the physical thing. It's the change of heart that Christ brings through his Spirit.
And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God.
It's, you know, peace and mercy, of course, are themes that Paul often ends his epistles with. But it's interesting, he says, for those who walk by this rule. Again, he's said that the law doesn't save you, and it's true. But he's also saying you can't just ignore the fruits of the Spirit and how to live that out. You can't just say, well, I'm a Christian now. I don't have to do anything, as he will say in Ephesians 2:8-10. And so as his workmanship, we are to walk according to this rule, this way of life. And then you're going to have the peace of God and the mercy of God, which are totally undeserved and totally by grace.
From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on the body the marks of Jesus. Bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. All right, verse 17. This catches my attention. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus.
Well, historically, there's been some debate about, is he talking about the stigmata, where you'd have marks of the nails and of the spear on his body? I don't think so. I think what he's saying here is all of his service, as he's moved from place to place, he's in prison, he's beaten, he's mistreated in many, many ways. And he's saying, you know, I'm living out this faithful life we're talking about here. So no one should, you know, say about me, you're saying one thing and doing another.
Just a little bit ago, we were talking about a different mark on the body. We were talking about circumcision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mark that leaves on the body. And here he's talking about a totally different mark on the body, that, the as you pointed out, the wears and tears of the life of a servant.
Right. And it would have been evident to folk along the way. Now, some have suggested that he might be, even with that large handwriting, that there might have been some sort of disability that had occurred because of his service for Christ. We just don't really know. It's always a speculation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen.
His shortest ending. Of all of his epistles, the shortest one is to the folks in Galatia. He doesn't greet anyone, as he'll do in other epistles. He doesn't bring up at this point anybody who's with him or who's serving with him. He just says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Some have suggested that he just kind of wound it up at that moment because he was done talking. I trust that the Spirit knows what he's doing when he inspires the Scriptures. So
that's a good way to go.
That's what we needed to hear at the end of this book, which is about grace rather than doing the deeds of the law.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, this Galatians 1 or 6 verses 1 through 18. What would you like for us to learn from this text as a whole? Sometimes when we go through verse by verse, we might miss the overarching theme. Is there something you'd like for us to learn from this whole section today?
Yeah, it is a little bit disjointed. So you have to understand that, you know, whether you'd put the chapter divisions where they're at now, that creates something. Because in chapter 5, he's really talked about these fruits of the Spirit and how to live out as the Spirit. And I think chapter 6, at least up until the point where he talks about writing in his own hand, is really about applying what does it mean to have a fruits of the Spirit, how do you live that, okay? And then he signs it, and then he kind of goes back to his main theme that of the entire book to remind the people, you know, here's why I wrote you in the first place, but ultimately leading to the grace of Christ is the only thing he has to boast in.
Amen, amen. Well, that's an outstanding chapter, and how timely that we're studying it this week while we're here at the National Youth Gathering, where the theme is in Christ alone. We're going to talk with more folks today about that theme as well. How did you prepare for this this week or this National Youth Gathering, especially that theme? How did you prepare your group as you were getting ready to come to New Orleans for the National Youth Gathering?
Well, you know, there are Bible studies that are prepared that we do, and actually the lay leaders did those. I sort of helped them in the background. But then, you know, I just thought I should add some more. So we spent a long time playing a little game in which I said, is this good? Does this save you? And, you know, and no, it was supposed to be the answer, but I didn't always get that. And so it was trying hard to get them to trust in Christ alone and not just trust in Christ and my circumcision, I guess you would say, in light of this chapter, or whatever else you want to add. I usually write on the board, we believe we are saved by faith, not faith plus anything, but faith alone.
it's very easy in this world to add things, to try to add things and make salvation faith plus works, faith plus
obedience. Waco, Texas has a university, Baylor University, which is a leading Baptist university, and the whole town believes in trust and obey. There is no other way. And I always have to remind people, no, it's trust. It's not trust and obey. It's cling to Christ, not you do a bunch of stuff and God will love you. One of my side duties is I teach for a week every year at in the university seminary. They have a very interesting class. And as part of that, I get to put forward what Lutherans believe. And I found out that they're not interested in me discussing the sacraments at all. I thought that's what they would want. What they really want to talk about is, how do I know I'm going to be saved? Because they're in trust and obey, they're never sure. And when they first asked me the question, I'm like, well, I was baptized. I'm a member of Christ's family by the work of Christ. I really didn't even have a good answer for them, because they were so keyed in on, well, how do you know? How do you know?
Beyond the shadow of doubt.
Yeah. And they'll even say things like, well, if I fall away, I wasn't really a Christian in the first place. And I don't see that. I see restore your brother who falls on the ice. You know, he's done something wrong. Restore him. Trust in the cross of Christ. Don't trust in yourself, because we're not saved by what I do.
It's in Christ alone that we are saved.
Exactly.
Through faith in him. Yeah. Well, Pastor, this has been a great study. I appreciate you getting up early this morning.
Hopefully, that's fine. Get
a little chance to get some rest before you head out. What's on the schedule for you and your group today?
Well, we'll go to the Bible study this morning with the rest of the kids, and then they'll be going to the interest centers. There's various topics that will be presented. And today is kind of a light day in that we're not going elsewhere. Yesterday, we did our servant event in New Orleans, and tomorrow we actually have a special trip to the New Orleans Mardi Gras Festival Museum, where they show all the floats and the sparkly stuff. But today's pretty much stay here. We expect the kids to go to various interest centers, and then we try to have a little discussion about, well, what did you learn? What did you get out of that? And sometimes they just give you, it was good, which is kind of a meaningless answer in my mind.
So then you have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah. Give me some, you know, why was it good? Or did you actually pay attention?
What was good about it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just the way that it is, especially if they're kind of tired, they get kind of sleepy.
Tell me about the servant event that you participated in yesterday.
We went to a charter school in a neighborhood that was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. It had been rebuilt. And instead of having a the regular school district school, that area had formed a charter school in the old school building. And we were there painting a classroom. There's actually three other churches there also working yesterday morning for about 4 hours, painting different parts of the building. And the kids at first thought, well, okay, this is just a task. But it's interesting. That particular charter school has a religious basis, a Christian basis. And so they started saying, you know, why this and why that? And that was good. And I think we did a pretty good job of painting a room, too.
Well, thanks be to God. Well, Pastor Rainierson, it's been a pleasure studying God's Word with you and talking about the National Youth Gathering as well. God's blessings on the rest of your time here at the gathering, and safe travels back to Peace Lutheran Church in Hewitt, Texas.
It was good to see you again, Andy.
Good to see you too, brother. Well, coming up in just a little bit, we'll check in with the Office of National Mission Executive Director, the Reverend Bart Day. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.